Chapter 6.
Yeah, Jamie, it is, Darcy said.
Oh,
Jamie groaned, her hands clasped to her cheeks.
Well, I'll go down there and tell him you don't want to be bothered, the officer said.
Darcy and Jamie watched as the officer returned to the Toyota and talked to their father for a few minutes. Darcy saw the officer take a slip of paper from her father's hand.
He's coming back up here, Jamie said nervously. The cop is coming back.
At the apartment door, the officer gave Darcy the paper. It had a phone number written on it. Darcy always thought her father had beautiful handwriting. He had gone to a small grammar school down south where they were strict about penmanship. The phone number was written in his familiar, fancy script. It brought a fresh rush of pain into Darcy's heart.
He said he won't bother you anymore, the officer told them. But if you ever want to contact him, this is the number to use, miss. He said he'd stay away from here and from your school. I don't think you need to worry about him annoying you again.
Darcy nodded and mumbled a thank you, clutching the note in her fingers. The girls watched as the Toyota left and then the police car. They couldn't tell if their father glanced up one more time at the apartment window. Jamie walked over to the kitchen table and sat down. She looked stunned.
Why would he come back here after all this time?
I don't know, Darcy said. Memories flooded back like scenes from an old movie. Darcy remembered the days before her mother was forced to work long hours to keep a roof over their heads, before they moved into the smaller apartment to save money, before Grandma's crippling stroke. She recalled the barbecues in the backyard when the family lived in National City and the trips to Tijuana when Daddy would buy the girls giant paper flowers and they would eat rolled tacos from street vendors. Most of all, she remembered the hiking trips into the mountains. They would find tadpoles in the spring streams, and Daddy would explain how they turned into frogs, and he would put the girls on his shoulders and march along with everybody chanting, "Ribbit, ribbit, ribbit." And then there were the visits to the giant cedar tree where he dubbed Jamie a princess, and just so Darcy wouldn't feel neglected, Daddy would put his hand on her shoulder and declare, "You're a princess, too." Unable to shake the images from her mind, Darcy looked at Jamie and asked, "Do you remember the hiking trips we used to take?"
"Yeah," Jamie said. "I think being there in the mountains was the last time I was really happy."
She shook herself as if to chase away the memories.
"Why do you have to come back like that? Like a stranger in the night?"
Darcy shrugged. The heavy man in the Toyota seemed to have nothing to do with those good memories. He seemed no part of them. In a way, he just made things worse.
"What's Mom gonna say?" Jamie asked.
"I don't know," Darcy replied, "but we'll have to tell her."
"Maybe she'll want him back," Jamie said. "She never dated anybody. Plenty of guys have liked her. You remember Chuck, the nurse from Jamaica? He really liked Mom. He sent her flowers and everything, but she never did go out with them. Maybe she still loves Dad."
"I don't think so," Darcy said.
"I don't ever want to see him in my entire life," Jamie asserted with sudden, unexpected passion. "I hate him. I wish he was dead. I wish we had gotten his death notice."
Darcy made hot cocoa and waited with Jamie for Mom to come home. Going to bed and trying to sleep after what had happened was out of the question.
"We're telling her tonight, huh?" Jamie asked.
"Yeah, I can't sleep on it tonight," Darcy said. "Mom's gonna be shocked," Jamie added.
Right after midnight, Mom came home. She spotted Jamie's face as soon as she walked in the door.
"Baby, what happened to you?"
she cried, throwing down her purse and rushing to Jamie.
"Nothing, Mom. I fell at cheerleader practice," Jamie lied. "But something else has happened."
"Mama?"
Mom gasped, thinking something had happened to Grandma.
"No, no," Darcy said quickly. "Grandma's okay. She's sleeping. It's that Dad is back in town."
Mom grabbed a chair and sat down quickly.
"Your father came here?"
"He was sitting in a car across the street. I got scared. He's been following me for days. I didn't recognize him, so I called the police, and they told me it was him," Darcy explained.
"Merciful Lord, after all these years!"
Mom cried, clasping her arms tightly and rocking back and forth as if in grief.
I told the police to tell him to go away and leave us alone, Darcy said. But he left this. It's his phone number.
Darcy showed her mother the scrap of paper, then put it on the kitchen counter.
You want to see him, Mom? Jamie asked.
Oh, my head is spinning from all this, honey. I'm so tired, I just want to shower and go to bed. I need to let this sink in. I just can't believe it.
Tomorrow is a school day, so you girls gotta go to bed too.
Looking dazed, Mom got up and walked toward the bathroom. Later on, when Mom was in her bedroom, Darcy heard her weeping. She knew Mom was trying to muffle the sounds by burying her face in the pillow, but just as they did years earlier when Dad abandoned the family, the racking sobs bubbled through the darkness. At breakfast the next morning, Mom kept repeating to the girls that she could not believe their father came back without even calling or sending a letter.
He's a lowlife, said Jamie.
Mom, he doesn't even look like himself anymore, Darcy said. He's so overweight and so old, like he hasn't taken care of himself in a long time.
Mom drank her coffee, her eyes welling with sorrow.
Darcy kept thinking about the past as she walked to school. When she had been very small, her father had made shadow puppets on the wall with his hands. He would make a snapping alligator with one hand and a hopping pig with the other. Every night, the two creatures would race across the wall of the girl's bedroom while their father recited a silly rhyme. Hot diggity dog, gonna eat that hog, says the old alligator who looked like a log. Hot diggity dee, he can't catch me, says the roly-poly little pig who hopped up the tree. Darcy and Jamie would chuckle with glee as the shadow pig always leapt away from the snapping jaws of the alligator. Lost in memories, Darcy did not see Cooper and his friends in front of the school. Noisy as usual, they were sitting on top of Cooper's pickup truck and peering from the shell. There was also a lot of other noise around the front of the school, including loud rap music from a red Nissan parked at the curb. As Darcy got closer to the Nissan, she could feel the rap's deep bass pulsing in the air, shaking the windows of nearby cars. Think hard, think fast, today might be your last, chanted the rapper as Darcy passed the red car. Man, you better try, maybe you gotta lie, maybe you gonna die. Ain't it a shame, you got no one to blame, when you're 6 feet underground, looking up instead of down. Just as Darcy got ready to cross the street, she heard the sound of an engine revving up loudly behind her. She turned and instantly the red Nissan sprang to life and blocked her path. Bobby Wallace leaned out the window.
Want to talk to you, girl, he barked.
I'm late for school, Darcy snapped. Get out of my way.
Better watch your mouth, Bobby snarled. You in a lot of trouble for messing me and Jamie up. We had a good thing and you went spreading lies.
I want you to fix it. You hear what I'm saying?
Are you crazy? Darcy cried. You think I want my sister hanging around with you? She was stealing for you, and when she broke up with you, you smacked her around.
I wish you were in jail. If you touch her again, I'll make sure that's where you end up.
Bobby's friend, who had been driving the Nissan, jumped from the car and came around, moving menacingly towards Darcy.
You think little old Jamie's face looked bad? Bobby sneered. You won't want to look in the mirror tomorrow when I get through with you.
Darcy tried to run around the Nissan, but Bobby, out of the car now, grabbed her wrist. His friend took out a knife and flashed it at her.
You and me gonna get in the car and go for a drive and talk, Bobby said, turning up the car's stereo to drown out the sounds of Darcy's screams.
Maybe you gonna die, the rapper repeated.
Darcy yanked on her wrist, trying to pull free. Up ahead, she saw students streaming into Bluford High, laughing and chattering. Nobody seemed to see the drama blocked by the red Nissan.
Get your hands off me, Darcy screamed as loud as she could, swinging her arm free and kicking at Bobby's shins.
Let me go! Darcy saw Bobby's hand coming at her face like a heavy club. It was all a blur after that. Cooper must have heard her scream even over the rap music, because he and three of his buddies were all over Bobby and his friend. The hand aimed at Darcy's face never connected.
Cooper and his crew pounced on Bobby and his friend, throwing them to the ground as the rap music howled. Ain't it a shame? You got no one to blame when you're 6 feet underground and looking up instead of down. Beaten and bloody, Bobby and his friend crawled into the Nissan and took off. By that time, Tara and some other kids were there cheering. Way to go, Coop! Tara yelled above them all, helping Darcy up. Little punks got what they deserve. Thanks, Darcy said to Cooper and the other boys.
It's fun knocking bullies upside their heads, Cooper laughed.
I was so surprised Cooper would help me like that, Darcy admitted to Tara later on.
Shows how much you know, girl, Tara scoffed. Coop might get lousy grades and he might act a little silly sometimes, but he's got heart. He won't let no sister get messed up by some thugs.
Coop is one of the good guys. He wants to be a fireman when he finishes school. They're always saving folks. That's Coop.
A number of kids had seen what happened in front of the school, and by afternoon, Bobby and his friend were disciplined. The principal, Miss Spencer, told Darcy that Bobby had been suspended for 3 days. She also explained that Bobby admitted to leaving the note on Darcy's desk and making the prank phone call to her house. If he caused any more trouble, Miss Spencer said he would be expelled. Darcy breathed a sigh of relief when she heard what had happened to Bobby. Walking home later that day, she thought about her run-in with Bobby and his friend. She couldn't remember ever being so afraid in her life. She had to catch her breath every time she thought about how that encounter with him could have turned out if not for Cooper. Near home, Darcy looked for the silver Toyota. She half expected to see it. She didn't know exactly how she felt when it wasn't there.